right, what's up, everybody? This is the Rival Fantasy Sports Podcast. We are live on stream. You guys know me, I'm Neil, but with me here is Brian.
Say what's up, Brian. Good to see you guys. Thanks for having me on, Neil.
Yeah, of course, man. Of course. This is the way it had to be, man. This is the way it had to be. And hopefully, you know, we're going to mix this up, right? Like, you can come on every single week. We're going to try to get Bruce on here sometimes. Yeah. We're going to try to bring different faces from Rival, because a lot of you guys are behind the scenes doing a lot of crazy things, but you know, let's bring you to the forefront and kind of get the audience familiar with you guys as well.
People know we exist. People can see
exactly.
They might just think it's going on. Yeah, you're the brains behind the whole operation.
They might think I am the owner, the devs, the marketing, everything.
You are. So you're a little bit of all things,
and that's a little bit of everything. I'm an engineer. Yep. I'm an engineer. Whatever you could think of behind, I did it all. I created it. No. There's a lot of awesome people behind it. So I want to make sure we get you guys on here. We talk, you know, what we're here to talk about, which is fantasy football, of course. Of course, since we're live, we're on Twitter live, YouTube live. You guys can, you know, drop questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about. We'll definitely do that. If you guys just let us know in the comments. Of course, if you're watching for the first time, make sure you go ahead and hit subscribe, turn your notifications, do all those good things to support us. But also so that when we go live, you guys know you don't miss a beat with anything that we're doing. Other than that, man, let's kind of start with the whole Chiefs Lions before we talk about what's happening today in terms of, you know, the games that are starting today, because I think that there's some interesting things that came away from that game, some overreactions, some stuff that are happening that are, you know, useful for today's games. Like, for instance, you know, I talked about it. I already put a video out on it and some clips on it, but like Jahmyr Gibbs, right? Like, everyone, you know, instantly had this, you know, first of all, going into the season, everyone was like hype on him, right? Like one of the top picks in all the rookie drafts. He was one of the earliest rookies drafted in regular drafts and redraft, whatever the case it may be. And then in this game, David Montgomery gets all the carries in the world, scores the touchdown, does all the things that you want Gibbs to do. And so people start to panic immediately. I'm more of the, you know, he looked good. He looked explosive on the carries that he did get. He was productive with them. Montgomery, like I've always been a fan of Montgomery, honestly. So it's like, I wasn't like surprised that he was going to get like this workhorse backload. And don't forget, it's a rookie. So like, they're not going to just throw the rookie into the fire and give him all the love and all the work straight out the gate. He's gonna have to earn it. He's gonna have to prove it. And there's no reason to rush him. Like, this Lions team looked really good. I mean, I know like a lot of people are going to blame the Chiefs for the injuries and the players holding out, but the Lions just looked good. Like, they look like a good football team. So, what is your take on, when you have a player who, let's say he hasn't proved himself a ton, right? It's a rookie, a first, second year guy. How quickly in your fantasy leagues do you respond to what you're seeing? Like, do you wait a certain amount of weeks? Is there like a certain timeline for you? Or do you start to panic right away and trade off guys? Like, how quickly, Brian, do you respond to what you see, you know, in the first couple of games of the season?
Yeah, it's a good question, man. And I think, so it's going to be different use cases too. Like, I think you're going to have a different reaction to Bijan today, because we found out Cordarrelle Patterson is inactive. So we know Bijan's probably going to get a lot of run versus right. We knew going into this week, Dan Campbell told us Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be eased into this offense. That's the reason they signed David Montgomery in the first place, was so they could bridge that gap. And, you know, with Dan Campbell, you're not getting a lot of coach speak. So you can pretty much take what he's saying to the bank every time. But exactly. I think with rookies in general, you got to give it at least 4 weeks. I think that first quarter of the season, you got to kind of wait and see, figure out if they're getting worked into the offense in the appropriate way. You know, again, like Justin Jefferson, right? His rookie season, those first 3 weeks mm-hmm. were not good. And then week four, I think, is when he popped. So patience is a virtue. It's a lot harder when these guys are your, you know, first, second, third round picks in redraft,
right?
But you have to kind of prep for that, the need to be flexible, stay fluid, and know that you gotta have to build a bench in order to deal with these iffy weeks for your rookie running backs and your younger guys.
I totally agree. I just think it's important to note, because like some people don't have that patience, right? Like, they start to freak out right away, and then you're gonna end up, you know, trading Gibbs too early, and then you're gonna regret it. So those kind of, and I also think, you know, the important thing is, there, so while Gibbs didn't play like you wanted him to, Montgomery played better than people wanted him to or expected him to. And so that's legitimate as well. You know what I mean? So it's not just that, you know, Gibbs didn't get the work we wanted him to get, but Montgomery also got work that, you know, people didn't expect him to get. So I think that's legit. I don't think that's going to like go away. The Lions, you know, last year did the same thing, split the workload a lot. So I think this is going to be something that we see all year long. I just think that we're going to continue to see Gibbs, you know, be more and more explosive, get there. A lot of these plays he's going to take for touchdowns that he didn't take last week or whatever the case may be. So that was really great to see. I think people need to just relax on the Gibbs hate or the concern if you have it. Goff looked decent. You know, ARSB, St. Brown crushed it out there as always. That's
he's one a vacuum. Guys that, he's a vacuum. I mean, you ridiculous. Put anything within 10 feet of him, he's going to catch it. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. So, I mean, like I said, the Lions look good. That, you know, we know what there is there. The bigger concern, what you should come away with, is the Chiefs, right? On offense, you know, Mahomes did what Mahomes does. We're not going to really worry about Mahomes in terms of like the outlook for the rest of the season. But what you have to do wonder is what's going on with the running backs there, right? Like, I thought Pacheco was going to come in and just kind of dominate the backfield. And we're still seeing Clyde Edwards-Helaire. They didn't even run a lot in general. So that was kind of concerning. And then the wide receivers, I mean, forget it. Like, no one there seemed to even exist. I mean, Rice caught a touchdown, had, you know, 20 something yards, whatever the case may be. But overall, everyone was dropping the ball. There was a couple guys with 5, 4, 3 targets, but they weren't catching them. You know what I mean? So do you think going forward, you know, I even put out a video on this. A lot of people were like, you know, going into the season, I got to have a piece of this Kansas City offense, right? I got to get a wide receiver from this offense. We don't know who it's going to be. So I'm just going to draft one of them, you know, maybe a couple mix it up in different drafts. And right now it's looking like none of them are who you really can depend on a week to week basis. It's really just Kelce and Mahomes. And then, you know, with guys like Pacheco, you just got to kind of hope he falls into the end zone or that he gets into games where they give him a lot of work because they get ahead early. But with these wide receivers in Kansas City, do you trust any going forward? Are you going to, you know, feel more comfortable with one over the other? Like for me, I'm like totally out on them, right? Like I didn't draft them to start with. I always went into it like, I'm not getting Kelce. I might take a chance on Pacheco or McKinnon because I've always been a McKinnon fan. But in terms of like the wide receivers, I wasn't in on any of them. It just wasn't a move I was making. I just seen the value in other places better than going for one of those kind of guys. But do you like any of them personally, or are you not out? You know, are you out on those guys as well?
Yeah, I took a lot of Kadarius Toney in best ball before he had his knee issue the first time.
Yeah,
but I think he forgot how to use his hands. So I'm a little out on Tony right now. I think that's a wait and see. I'm not cutting him, but I'm benching him until he proves it. I think if you're going to take a shot on anybody, Rashee Rice is probably the one that you take a shot on. Again, he's going to be a bench and see more than he's not going to be a weekly flex play for a while. But yeah, I think the moral of the story was anyone who took Kelce in the first round, even with the injury news, probably feels very happy with their decision after that first game. Because that is the offense. The offense is Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, and then whoever else steps up that week. Like you said, it could be McKinnon. McKinnon is always in seemingly the most important spots in the hurry-up offense, so he's going to get a lot of valuable touches. But Pacheco led the team, I think, in overall touches and targets even. So, you know, Pacheco's going to be a cog in that wheel. But, yeah, it's very much a wait and see, and be really happy if you did draft Travis Kelce at a discount this last week.
Yeah, I agree. And, I mean, yeah, Tony, I made a video about Tony last year when they traded for him. I do like his potential and his upside, and I think that what we're kind of seeing is it's probably going to be kind of on and off, right? Like, he's going to have huge games. He's going to have games that are just what we just seen. And that's kind of the fear. We get with those kind of players where it's like, when you don't know when to start them, because, you know, that's the dangerous part, right? Like, if you can't trust the player week to week, when do you put him in your lineup, right? Like, you don't want to trust a Tony on, you know, a championship week, a playoff week, but do you trust him early on? Like, I don't know if he's going to find that consistency, but I do agree. Like, I like his talent overall, but it's just, if he can't hold on to the ball, it's kind of useless, right? Yeah. So we'll
see. That's kind of why I'm holding out hope that Mike Evans gets traded to the Chiefs
before. Yeah, that's a weird situation.
That situation's a little messy, but if for whatever reason the Bucs don't want a Hall of Famer on their team moving forward, let's hope the Chiefs get in there and do what they did with Tony last year and grab him at a discount before.
I mean, look, contract situations are weird in the NFL, right? Like, you've seen someone like Josh Jacobs crushed it last year, one of the best running backs in football, and then has to like kind of like sort of fight for a deal that he wants. A lot of the running backs were doing it. Now someone like Mike Evans, who has never had a season. I mean, think about this. Never a season with less than 1,000 receiving yards. Do everything, you know, and that team has gone through, whatever the case may be. It's hard to never have a non-1,000-yard season, like even out of the gate. So to not, you know, find a way to have common ground there with them, we'll see. I mean, he's going to be an exciting guy somewhere next year. You know, I don't care what anyone says. So we'll see. Yeah. I mean, hopefully
I'll take Baker Mike Evans at hopefully age Baker 31. There. I'll take Mike Evans at age 31 over most guys.
Yeah.
I know if you know a guy has good hands and he's going to catch – he's going to have 120 targets and he catches 80 of them. I mean, that's a little ridiculous, but you get the point.
Yeah,
that he's going to catch all of his passes. So he's going to boost someone's team for sure next year.
Yeah. So one of the things I want to do is, I mean, we recap that game. I don't want to go through each game because it is going to take us forever, more than an hour that we have here that we plan to spend here. So what I want to do is kind of go through each game really quick. I'm just looking at the schedule here for week one, and me and you could kind of either talk about the biggest thing that stands out to us in that game, the player that stands out to us in the game that we're kind of watching the closest, you know, because again, what fantasy, you know, what's important in fantasy in week one, week two, these kind of weeks is, you know, kind of taking everything in, right? Like digest it, what's happening. It's hard to, you know, we could predict off of last year and kind of project into this year what we think is going to happen. But in reality, these first few weeks are going to tell us a lot about, you know, if what we thought was going to happen actually, you know, is going to play out that way, or if we have to adjust. Because a lot of times in fantasy, you just have to be flexible. You have to be adjustable. You can't just go into it one set path and then think that that's how you're going to win the season. You have to adjust. This is why waivers are so important and trades are so important. And if you're not doing those things, you're likely probably losing your leagues every week, every year. So let's go ahead and just kind of jump through each game here. And you just tell me the thought that comes to mind, the player that comes to mind. I'm going to do the same. We'll start with Bengals and Browns. For me, I'll just jump out here. The first thing I'm looking at here is Deshaun Watson. Like, last year he came back. It wasn't the greatest. I was a big fan of Watson's game in terms of when he came into the NFL, what he can do. And the reason why I'm looking at this is I want to see if Watson can rebound to what he was. But on top of that, like, Amari Cooper's here, right? Like, this is a guy who I drafted a lot this year. I don't know if it was just the way it felt to me, because I'm a Raiders fan. And so when Cooper left, I had bad feelings for Cooper. And so I don't necessarily draft Cooper, or I'm a fan of Cooper, but I know he's super talented. And if Deshaun Watson and him can get on the same page, this could be electric. So I'm really looking at, when I'm watching this Bengals game, I already know all the good stuff, right? Like, that the Bengals are doing and all the awesome players there, and what, you know, if Joe Burrow and everything can get on the same page healthy out the gate. But my biggest focus here in this game is Deshaun Watson to Amari Cooper.
For me, I'm watching the running backs, so I want to see how much volume these guys are getting, because they have no competition in the backfield. So is Joe Mixon going to get 20 touches a game? Is Nick Chubb going to get 5 targets a game and then boost his value to arguably the third best running back in fantasy if he adds pass catching into that repertoire for real? If he catches 50 balls this year, I don't see a world where Nick Chubb is not a top 5 guy. So, and say with Joe Mixon, I think if that consistency is there, he's going to have another top 10 finish, kind of no brainer. And then bonus, just keep an eye on Joe Burrow's calf. Let's make sure he can finish the game. That's a fear, because I don't, last thing we want is like a Kevin Durant situation. That's a calf strain that leads to an Achilles issue. So very, very nervous, but also very hopeful that Burrow stays healthy.
Yeah. I do not want to think about an injured Joe Burrow. I have too much riding on that offense. Just acknowledging here, Diana in the chat saying hello. Hello, Diana. Thank you for watching. Diana's awesome. All right. Next thing here. And don't forget, like, the big part of this is obviously, okay, Rival Fantasy. These things we're talking about right now, you could be bringing these up, and we're going to take a look at them once we run through some of these games. Ways that you can use these players, ways that you can use these situations that are going on, these narratives that we're talking about. Rival Fantasy obviously offers the season-long platform that we launched just recently, where everyone is, you know, running their season-long leagues right now. But on top of that, we also have Fantasy Bingo, and we also have the Rival Challenges. So we're going to get into all those things. We're going to run through these quickly. But while we're talking about them, you know, keep some of these names in mind, because they're going to come in really handy for challenges, for, you know, bingo, and for these kind of things. The next one, close to your heart, Texans-Ravens. You're obviously a Texans fan, so I'm going to let you start with what, you know, the key that you're looking at here. If you had to focus on one thing, I know it's your team, so there's a lot of focuses, but if you had to focus on one thing, what are you really paying attention to here?
Yeah, I think it's the Texans wide receiver room. This isn't going to be a good week for the Texans offensively. Like, Stroud's first game, really high-powered defense on the other side. But I think some clarity on who the one and the two are in the Texans offense will be helpful probably for everybody in the second half of the fantasy season. Is it going to be Tank Dell? Is Nico Collins finally going to step up and be an alpha? Does Robert Woods get like the de facto wide receiver one just because he's the grizzled vet? Or is it going to be somebody else in that wide receiver room? So keeping an eye, especially on Nico Collins and Tank Dell today, and kind of see what comes out of there.
I thought you were going to say CJ Stroud, man.
I think all eyes are on Stroud, and we know what he is, and he's getting thrown into the fire. But he's got a long leash. I mean, they're not going to bench him for Davis Mills today. Like, that's just not going to happen. So, I'm more interested to see what Stroud is going to do with this interesting and eclectic wide receiver room.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Like, there's a lot of interest in, you know, pieces of this offense, and clearly it's going to tell us a lot, you know, these first couple of weeks. Like I keep saying, these first couple of weeks mean a lot, and we're going to find out, you know, who is Stroud, you know, really leaning towards? Is there a guy he's leaning towards? Is he going to spread it everywhere? You know, are we going to have this one guy who starts to like clearly become the guy in that offense? It's going to be, you know, something we see pretty early on, I think. And actually, let me bring up challenges really quick, because actually this kind of gives a good point for us to talk about. Stuff like this is what we're talking about with Rival Fantasy and these conversations that we're having, right? Like, you can type in Nico Collins here on the challenges tab, and then you start to be presented with, you know, challenges, whether it's Gabe Davis, you know, and we're going just fantasy points. Who's going to score more fantasy points? You pick your side. Obviously, Brian would come over here and pick Nico Collins. You put your amount in, you place the bet, and then others will come along and pick up the other side. Of course, this is the obvious part of the feature. We also have social challenges, so you can just create. So right now, if me and Brian were debating this right now, we're having an argument. He thinks Nico Collins is going to crush it. I don't know if he will, but, you know, he's going to go ahead and create the Nico Collins side. I'll say, hey, listen, man, give me Jacoby Myers. That's my Raider. I'll be a homer. And then we'll just continue to make it out here. He'll pick his side. He'll pick his bet amount. He'll place the bet. Let's just say I'll take my side for now, because we'll send this over to him. I'm placing my bet on Jacoby Myers. I can actually pull up Ryan's name here from my friends tab. He's over here, Papa BK. Very, very cool name there. I don't understand the meaning behind it. We'll let him stare that for another day. But again, this challenge comes up. If I didn't want to send it to Brian, I could just copy the link, post it wherever I want to post it. I could hit share, go to the different platforms, email it, social media, you know, X, Twitter, wherever you want. You can text this to your brother or your coworker, or whoever you're talking to. So this is just a kind of a good example of how you can use Rival Fantasy while, you know, debating this stuff, while having these conversations with your friends online or wherever you're at. You know what I mean? So I expect you to pick this, take this bet.
Sorry. Oh, I did, man. I already picked it up. So I'll throw a buck on my boy, Nico.
Perfect. All right, so that was just to kind of give you guys an idea of what we're talking about. Again, we'll look more into this. We're kind of just kind of trying to run through some of this because, man, time is already flying. The games are about to start in a couple of minutes. I feel like I'm excited. Buccaneers-Vikings. Yeah, Buccaneers-Vikings. I feel like for me, when I look at this game, again, I expect the Vikings to kind of start off on fire. I'm a Kirk Cousins fan. I love what he does and how, you know, his whole situation, right? Like his personality, how he presents himself. But if I'm looking at one thing here, it's can Baker feed Godwin and Evans? Like, that's what I care about here, because I do have a lot invested in both these players. I like Godwin a lot. I have him in more places, I should say. I like Godwin a lot. I think that he has a better chance of, you know, flourishing in this offense because he can play the slot and do a lot of those things. I think Baker's kind of underrated, to be honest. And I don't know, maybe it's because I'm, you know, last year the Raiders played when he was the quarterback for, what was it, the Rams? Whoever it was, for 1 week, it like just came out of nowhere. He like beat us at the end of the game. I'm like, what is happening right now? So when I seen that, I'm like, I know the Raiders defense is bad, but Baker's not looking too bad. I mean, honestly, this isn't horrible from Baker. So I believe he can, you know, make things happen for players. And I don't think he's ever had. Has he had wide receivers like Godwin and Evans before? Like, I'm trying to think back to his wide receiver duos of the past. I don't know if he's anyone that skilled.
I can't. Yeah, off the top of my head, not really. He's never had.
It's hard to be. That's an elite group, so I mean, it's hard to match that anyway. But so I'm looking forward to seeing whether he can do that or not. What would you see in this game that you're kind of looking at?
Yeah, I'm trying to keep an eye on Rashad White, figure out if he's actually going to be a three down back, or if Sean Tucker's going to actually get the amount of work the Bucks are kind of alluding that he's going to get. And then on the Viking side, I'm interested to see if Jordan Addison is going to, what amount of snaps he plays, or if he's kind of coming in and out with KJ Osborne, and what their split looks like these first couple of weeks.
Addison is the wide receiver that I'm most excited about.
I think he's going to pop, and I think it's going to be like a Jefferson situation his rookie year, that he's not going to pop week one and people are going to start freaking out. And
right.
Just want to see what that looks like and practice a little bit of patience on the Addison front.
Absolutely. All right. Panthers Falcons. You mentioned Bijan Robinson. Is that what you're paying attention to in this game? Is it something else that you're kind of keeping an eye on more than that?
I want to see if Desmond Ridder throws the ball more than 20 times, because there are some really good pieces on that offense. You have Kyle Pitts, you have Drake London, you have Bijan. So how many of them, if any, are worth, starting in a PPR league, especially because if they're throwing the ball 18 times a game, that's not a lot of opportunity for your fantasy teams.
No, yeah, for sure. I think on the other side of that is, Bryce Young.
Yeah.
And my thing is, like, I like a lot. Honestly, like, I got a lot of Miles Sanders. I drafted him a lot. And, I'm not big on, a lot of the wide receiver targets there. I don't have any Bryce Young. My thing is, like, can this, offensive line protect Bryce Young? Can the offensive line do enough to let Miles Sanders eat? I'm a Miles Sanders fan. I kind of do this thing where when players are like this underdog, where a lot of people kind of like crap on them, don't champion them, don't say they're that good. Miles Sanders has been that guy in fantasy football. Like, he's always been this guy that people kind of like, hey, he ain't that good. He's not great. He just kind of sucks, this and that. And I've always been like, yeah, he's not that bad. So, like, I want him to flourish, in Carolina. They gave him a big contract. So I want him to do great there. I did draft him a lot just because he happened to fall a lot into that range. Yeah. If you draft wide receivers early, the Miles Sanders type, ironically, I got a lot of Miles Sanders and DeAndre Swift, who basically, switched, kind of like, I like them both. I feel like they're both similar. DeAndre Swift probably, if he just stays healthy, is, loved more than Miles Sanders, but they both, found new teams. And so I kind of, got both of them a lot of times around the same area. So that's what I'm going to pay attention to, is can that offensive line protect this offense enough to do things at all? You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's what I'm paying attention to here in this game.
And also interested to see if Jonathan Mingo will step into that one role with Chark and Thielen a little banged up. So I think Mingo is someone.
Yeah.
I'd add him to the end of your bench this week, because if he does pop, it's going to be a fight on the waivers next week to get.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, we'll see how that plays out. And then when we jump over this is one of my favorite games of the week. I'm not going to lie. Cardinals Commanders. And you're saying, why? Like, the Cardinals suck, Neil. Like, yeah, you're right. They do. They do, and that's kind of why I'm excited about this, because the Cardinals suck. They plan to suck. They want to suck. And then on the flip side, I'm really excited about the Commanders' offense. Like, I'm super jacked up about this offense. I put out, content this week about my – I call them wild cards, my not-so-obvious locks of the week. So guys that I feel like I don't rank them in my top 10, I don't rank them, like, as the obvious stars of the week, but I feel like they could – if things go right, I say easily, but because in my mind, I'm like, making it easy. But like in reality, it's not easy. Everything has to kind of go their way for these things to play out. But I think they can end up in the top 10 at their positions. And so I got Sam Howell up there. I got Jahan Dotson up there. I love this offense. Like, Terry McLaurin, I think, is amazing. I've talked about Antonio Gibson a ton, out of the backfield. So, like, I really am excited when you think about, they have Eric Bieniemy now calling these plays. They, players were complaining that he was coaching them too hard. I love hearing that. Yeah. So, like I'm excited about the Commanders, and I want to know, Brian, am I crazy? Am I going too overboard? Or do I have some legitimacy to be, behaving this way about this team?
No, man, I think, the Commanders could very easily do what the Giants did last year, where they're the team nobody really expects to kind of take that next step. Mm-hmm. And I do think, like you said, their weapons are crazy good. Don't forget Curtis Samuel. Like, he's always a thorn in the side of fantasy owners, but like the guy can play football when he's healthy. So like, he's going to help that team be better. And then Brian Robinson is not recovering from a gunshot this year. So he's going to be just as valuable on the first and second downs. And then, you know, you got his thunder to Gibson's lightning. It's a really good backfield. So yeah, I'm excited to see what the Commanders do. And, you know, I draft Jahan Dotson in pretty much every league I'm in this year. I have a ridiculous amount of exposure to
Jahan You've blocked Dotson, me from yeah. Jahan Dotson.
In I'm a believer. Leagues. I'm a gigantic yeah. believer in Jahan Dotson.
So, I mean, now I have to note, any league I draft with you in, I just have to draft him earlier than I want to draft him because...
Yeah, you're going to have to take him in, like, the fifth round moving forward. I mean, if he pops this year, he might be a fifth, fourth round pick next year. So
for sure.
I guess I'll be jumping on him earlier and earlier every season.
But. Yeah, for sure. I've been saying, like, obviously he's a clear flex in any league. But, I mean, I think by the time we move into the season here, people are going to say he's a wide receiver too. He belongs in that spot for me. I feel comfortable leaving him there every week. I just think, you know, when you get players like that who are playmakers, who can, you know, score touchdowns, you know, so often, like we've seen last year, like it felt like every time he caught the ball, it was a touchdown. That's what it felt like. Yeah. So, like, a guy who can do that, you know, get you excited about what happens when he gets a lot of targets, what happens when he actually is making all these other plays, not just, you know, touchdown type plays. Like, what could the yardage look like? What could the receptions look like? Like, it's exciting. So, yeah, I'm really excited. I'm glad that you think that, you know, it's warranted for the excitement of just, you know, the Redskins.
Here's a question based on Jahan Dotson. Then, if you were picking between Drake London and Jahan Dotson to start as a flex this week, which one are you starting and why?
So, this is gonna might sound crazy, but I'm taking Dotson.
Okay.
And it's not necessarily a knock on London because I know London is super talented. He had his moments last year. I just, like, you know, you mentioned Desmond Ridder earlier. I'm not sold on Ridder. I'm not sold that this team is even going to pass the ball a whole bunch. You know what I mean? Like, they got Bijan Robinson. Their coach loves to run the ball. I'm just like, I want them to prove it to me that he's going to be, you know, fed every single game, you know, have those big moments. Ridder can make it happen. I just believe in Howell, Bieniemy, this offense more than I believe in you know, the Falcons offense. So it's not necessarily a knock on London or like a Dotson over London because of ability, like straight up. But I do think that Dotson is just as talented and doesn't get the same attention.
Yeah, I lean that way as well. But I think it's hard because I know Dotson was roughly around two rounds later in the draft than London was. So I know people are going to have some hard time, you know, pulling the trigger there, but
for sure.
Neil said it. Yeah. So you guys kind of have to, you have somebody to blame if it doesn't work out.
And a reminder for those watching down here below, you can sign up at rivalfantasy.com or download the Rival Fantasy Sports app. You can still sign up for a season-long league. So if you missed the early rush before the season started, you want to do a do-over, you didn't like how it started for you in your other leagues, you're not liking some of the stuff happening on the other platforms, you know, come over to Rival Fantasy Sports, start a league, get 10 or 12 people in there. We'll talk about it. It's a lot of fun, right? Like, we're constantly rolling out new features. We got an awesome team of devs out there just crushing it, rolling all these new features out. So we're really excited about what they're doing. And we just have a dedicated, you know, diehard fantasy football, you know, team, right? Like, we're not just doing this to do it because it's cool. Like, we love fantasy football. And so we're trying to create the best product possible. So there's going to be constantly new updates, fixed features, new features, whatever you're looking for. I can promise you, if it's not there yet, it's going to be there. Like, we're going to get there. It's just, this is our first season. So, but you can still sign up. Even if you want to just start in week two, you want your little do-over, you want to start fresh. You've seen how, you know, things went in week one. You kind of like, you know, kind of having that little, I won't say a cheat, but, you know, kind of a vision of how things are looking and you want to start a new league, get in there, sign up and start a league there today, man. I got a bunch in there with Brian and I need to whoop his ass. It's a great feeling.
It's a great feeling, man. We'll see what happens. We'll see.
I forget if I play you this week in any of the leagues.
Yeah, we play. Yeah, we do. We have our first head-to-head matchup in week one.
So, oh, which league is it in? Hold on.
I think
hold
it's on. our listener league two.
Let me see.
I'm projected to win by like 9 points, but that doesn't mean anything.
Oh, this guy here. Let's see. All right, let's get this to full screen for a second. Justin Herbert versus Trevor Lawrence. I'm on the right, obviously. Trevor Lawrence, he's got Justin Herbert. I got McCaffrey and Jacobs at running back. He's got Henry and Connor. Boo, Connor, boo. I got Higgins and Metcalf. Brian, you got Jefferson and Olave. I mean, that's some pretty, you know, pretty good duo there. Yeah. Ingram versus Goddard. And then our flexes, I have Hopkins and McLaurin. There goes that commander. You have Samuel and Godwin. We've talked about Godwin already. And then the kickers, the defenses. I got two Raiders. That's my cliche move when it comes to defensive kickers because I'm not a big fan of doing it in general. So when I have to, you know.
You went a little Raiders heavy for my taste on this team, but you picked all the right Raiders if you were going to do it. So I can't say that you're in the wrong there.
Listen, I've been drafting Raiders every single season because it's just who I am. But at some point, it's starting to like be okay. You know what I mean? Like now I get to draft Adams and Jacobs and things are starting to feel right. You know, we got rid of Carr, so now I got the Carr curse off of me. But now that he's a Saint, no one's really hating on him. So I still have him on some of my teams. Oh. Now nobody likes Jimmy G. You know what I mean? Like whoever the Raiders get, no one likes him. So
yeah, it's like that Rich Gannon curse or something. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Man. It's just for whatever reason, the Raiders QBs get a bad rap.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm a believer, but we'll get to that game. Yeah. Next one, Jaguars, Colts. Obviously no Jonathan Taylor. Ugly situation there that hasn't improved. So that's unfortunate. The Jaguars offense has a lot to look at. So if I'm looking at this game right now, my thing is I'm not going to deny it is Anthony Richardson. Like, I'm all in. I'm the biggest Anthony Richardson fan there is. Like, I just believe, I love what he's doing. I love what he can do. I love what he did in college. Whenever these guys come out, a lot of people, you know, give them a lot of grief. Oh, he just runs the ball. He can't throw good. I remember Deshaun Watson got a ton of crap. Jalen Hurts got a ton of crap. I like these kind of quarterbacks. For a fan of a team who had Derek Carr all these years, I'm always saying, when are we going to get the guy who can run the damn ball? When are we going to get the guy who can do, you know, this next level stuff? Obviously, we just talked about Jimmy G for a second there. He can't do those kind of things. He can move around a little more than Derek Carr probably, but again, not Anthony Richardson style stuff. And so I'm all in. I think he's going to have success out the gate. Sure, he's going to have his rookie struggles, but I think I can't pay attention to anything else other than Anthony Richardson in this game. So please help us on what else we should be looking at.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what Tank Bigsby does. They've talked a lot about him getting touches, earning touches. You already have a rock star running back in ETN. So I'm interested to see what Tank Bigsby's role is going to be on a pretty stacked Jags offense. I also feel like this week is going to be the week we all realize we messed up with how much we were all down on Michael Pittman. I feel like Michael Pittman's going to be much better this season than we all realize, and a lot of us are going to be wondering how he fell into like the eighth or ninth round of a lot of drafts.
Yeah, no, that's going to be one of the and the Tank Bigsby thing is interesting because ETN is a good running back, right? Like he's a fun running back, he's exciting, but people want Bigsby. Like they're pushing, like it's almost like they're pushing ETN out the door. It feels like, I don't know if it's just in fantasy circles or just, I don't know how Jaguar fans necessarily feel. I mean, I'm in Florida. I don't know any Jaguar fans, actually. I'm in South Florida, so probably more Dolphins fans around me. But I don't know how, you know, Jaguars fans feel exactly, like if they just want it to be a good 50-50 split. But it feels like in fantasy, and it could be just, you know, shiny new toy, you know, I found this new hidden gem type of talk that I'm, you know, seeing so much. But either way, it feels like everyone is all of a sudden a Bigsby fan, and like ETN's like an afterthought.
Yeah, and it's strange. And I think it might stem from the Liz Frank injury that ETN had 2 years ago, and you know, people just concerned about his durability because that's how he started his NFL career off. And I don't know if that's a fair reason to be off of ETN. There is a world where, you know, Bigsby is your red zone guy and ETN is the guy between the 20s, and if that's the case, that's a bummer, but I'm still probably going to take ETN for the upside in the PPR slant especially. So yeah, I agree. It is kind of like shiny new toy syndrome, but I don't think anyone needs to be scared that Bigsby is going to become the 1A over ETN, especially with, like, you think about all the external factors. ETN and Lawrence played together in college. They know each other's game. They know how to, they have all these nonverbal cues they don't even need to think about to play together. So I think ETN's good. I'm just interested to see how quickly and how much they work Bigsby into the rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. And like, let me ask you this. If you had to guess today, right now, before the games kick off at 1, Jaguars, Colts, high scoring game on both teams, or do you think one's going to dominate?
I think the Jags, I think it'll be a little lopsided towards the Jags. I bet it might be a little bit of what the Eagles did last year, where second half is a little bit, some guys rotating in and out a little more than normal. I could see this ending like 31-14 pretty easily.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not surprising. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I just hope, like I said, Anthony Richardson, good game. I don't want to totally bust out in this game. Yeah. I want it to be a good game. So we'll see. It should be a fun one though. I mean,
it'll be fun. It'll be entertaining.
Yeah, definitely. Right. If nothing less, it'll be entertaining. Next 1 o'clock game, 49ers Steelers. Ooh, 49ers, Steelers. Battle of a defenses here, right? Yeah. Both got really good defenses. Yeah, Brock Purdy versus Pickett. There's a lot going on here, right? Like, they both have pretty good sets of wide receivers, really good running backs. Yep. I don't know. I mean, if I'm thinking about what is my biggest, you know, fantasy thing that I'm looking at here in terms of, you know, what's going to catch my eye the most, what am I kind of really paying the most attention to? It probably is, like, whether Pickett and Purdy are as legit as we've, you know, want to believe they are. You know what I mean? Like, you could look at it either one or both, because both, I feel like, are still under the microscope, right? Like, Purdy did this, you know, ridiculous stuff last year that everyone was like, what the hell is, who is this guy? What is going on right now? And then Pickett is a guy who came in with a lot of expectations, kind of let a lot of people down. They, you know, I feel like that's the vibe, you know, but people have a lot of high hope for him still. They don't, like, discount that. They still think he's going to be good. But Purdy is kind of like, you know, was it luck? Was it, you know, a one-off type of thing? Nobody knew who this guy was. And yeah, like, you know, what was it? So, like, that I'm looking at the quarterbacks for sure in this game. Is there anything else that you think deserves our attention more than the quarterbacks in this game?
Not necessarily more. But I'm calling my shot right now. Deontay Johnson gets in the end zone in the first half. This dude is not going. He's not going another year without a touchdown. Get this man in the end zone immediately. The Steelers need to remedy that before they do anything else.
Yeah. He's a super talented wide receiver. And he, like, another guy who just doesn't, I don't know what it is, man. I don't know if it's the Steelers, if it's the consistency. I mean, he's super talented, right? Like, there's no reason for this to be a thing, like a struggle. Yeah.
I think today it's like, keep eye on Deontay Johnson and on Ayuk and just see what their usage is, because, you know, we've been very down on Deontay because of his performance last year, and a lot of people have been very high on Ayuk for the same reason. Yeah. So is that going to be status quo, or is that going to flip flop this year? So interested to see what those guys do.
Yeah, it is definitely a valuable thing to be looking at. The last 1 o'clock game is Titans Saints. My boy Derek Carr. Yeah. Former Raider starts in his new home with New Orleans. He's going against Ryan Tannehill, another, you know, veteran quarterback in a kind of a similar, like, you know, they kind of are looked at it, you know, in similar ways in terms of, like, middle of the pack kind of quarterbacks.
Like, good, not great.
Not great, not amazing, but, like, they get the job done if everything else goes as planned. You know what I mean? So this will be a fun game to watch. On both sides, we got wide receivers to pay attention to. We have, you know, running back situations that are interesting. What are you coming away from? What are you going into this game, you know, hoping to see?
Yeah, I'm excited to see what Jamal Williams does with the entire backfield to himself. Kendra Miller's out. We know that Alvin Kamara is suspended for three games, I think, two or three. But so, I mean, as far as I know, I don't know who else is on the depth chart for the Saints at running back. So interested to see if Jamal Williams gets 20 plus touches and what he does with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot to look at here. I just want to remind everybody who is watching that, again, Rival has season-long leagues, bingo, challenges. We showed a little bit of challenges earlier. I want to remind everybody what those are. Again, you go onto the platform and you can choose any of the, you know, system-generated ones. Like, for instance, what we're looking at right here is Christian Kirk, DJ Moore, who will score more fantasy points. $3 available bet on Christian Kirk, which means somebody has put money on Kirk. So if you take the Moore side, you can try to, you know, challenge this challenge here. You can go $1, $5. So if you do $1, it's just $1 versus $1. If you do $5, you're challenging that whole person's $3 bet. Plus you have $2 left out there for somebody else to come along and take it. If you don't like what you're seeing in the challenge, you just hit skip challenge. Next challenge comes up. Look at this. Like, this is how crazy it can get. Stevenson versus Robinson, $71 in available bets right now on Robinson. Like, that's enticing, man. I've got to be honest. Like, when I see stuff like that, I get excited. Like,
yeah,
this, you know,
I assume that people are just banking on Ramondre not playing. And I hate to break it to you guys, but if he does not play, this challenge will be canceled.
Yeah, it'll get canceled.
Money. You have not gamed the system. I'm sorry. but it's that is an enticing.
And it's similar to something like this, right? Darren Waller versus Treylon Burks. If Darren Waller doesn't play, this gets canceled. So the person who bet the $15 doesn't lose their money or, you know, nothing crazy like that. But if you do bet this side thinking you're being slick, the system is obviously set up to, you know, stop that. Here's a good one. $10 available bet currently on Justin Herbert. You can go ahead and take the Lamar Jackson side, and you could bet. Again, if you don't want to go the full 10, you can go $1, you can go $5. We set this up so that, like, any bankroll style can play, right? Like, you could play 10 different challenges at $1. You could play this challenge for $10. Like, it's totally up to you. But this is one that, you know, you see this and you're like, I got to consider this. Like, this is a legitimate challenge right now. Like, and Jackson's playing the Texans.
Even if Lamar sits the second half, I mean, if he runs for two touchdowns, which is not out of the realm of possibility, that gets him right up there with Herbert today.
Yeah, if you're watching this right now, this challenge is begging to be taken. This challenge is begging for you to log in right now.
If you guys make your deposit. Don't take it. I will.
Yeah. Listen, you got to. If you sign up right now, you haven't. You don't even have, you know, a rival account. You sign up right now. You make your first deposit. We're matching it up to $200 plus. You're getting a $25 voucher. You come on here right now. You're slapping the $10. You're placing the bet. You're taking advantage of stuff like this. This is a fun, great challenge. And again, if you're arguing with your brother, your coworker, someone on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, you're doing these things. You come on here. You can create your own social challenges up here in the top. You can do whatever you want. So you can take the system generated ones, which are set up to be fun and awesome, or you can create your own. Just go up here, hit the NFL tab, and select your players. So I just want to remind people that, man, this stuff is out there and it's sitting there and games are kicking off soon. And you don't want to miss out on those because, again, you know, one of the players might start at one and then you're going to miss out on it once the game starts off. So you don't want to miss that. Let's run through some of these other ones really quickly.
All right, let's do
4 o'clock games, Raiders, Broncos. I mean, bro, Raiders, free W here. Of course, I'm a Raiders fan, so that's how I see this. Free W, Russell Wilson sucks. Jimmy G is going for 303 touchdowns. Devontae Adams going off. Josh Jacobs is going off. No Bronco players touching 100 yards on any side of the ball. I mean, what are we talking about here? What is there to even look at?
What's the split in the Broncos backfield? I know they said they have a rookie running back coming in too, so they're going to like split it three ways. So let's see what Sean Payton does with his classic Sean Payton backfield. Interested to see what he does there. But
yeah, what does Sean Payton do about the backfield? Does he get Russell Wilson's confidence back? He told him to stop kissing babies out here. Stop trying to make everybody happy.
If Russ goes back to Russ the first like 4 years in Seattle, the Broncos have a shot to be competitive. But they're also down a lot of guys. So like Cortland Sutton is just going to get fed the ball. Like if you're making any challenges, I think you can make a challenge on Cortland Sutton. Take that side. Anyone else will take the other side. And I like your odds of winning today. I think
I hope the Raiders ruin everything for Broncos. Whatever they hope to happen in this game, I hope it all gets crushed.
Spoken like a true Raiders fan.
And I got a lot of fantasy investment here, guys. Yeah, like, let's be honest. I got Raider.
I mean, I got a lot of Jacobs and Devontae too. So like I want the Raiders to go off, but
yeah,
I want to be competitive.
And that's the thing, right? Like, how far does your true team fandom go into fantasy, right? Like, this is always a battle for me internally, like a moral battle. Like, do I draft these Chiefs, these Chargers, these Broncos, or do I hate them so much that I can't put them on my fantasy team? Yeah. At least I can use them in challenges, and then bingo. I don't get mad about that. Yeah. But when I put them on my season-long team, I feel like I'm, you know, in favor of them. I love them. I'm supporting them all year long, week after week. At least if I just do it on a challenge, like, you know, it's done in a week.
Least you're not like me. Like, the Texans suck, so I'm never drafting them. I'm never putting them on my challenges. So, like, you don't have to worry about that, at least. So that's
it might change this year.
Positive. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I eat my words, but we'll see.
I hope so, too, man. All right, let's run through some more of these. Eagles, Patriots, Jalen Hurts all day. My favorite quarterback in the league. I want to see Jalen Hurts crush the Patriots, but what I'm looking at for sure is the Jalen Hurts situation. How will he do against, you know, a Patriots defense who we know is, you know, has going to be game plan to the top of the line for him on this one. So, you know, can Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown ball out even against these top defenses, or have people started to figure them out? Are people starting to find some chinks, you know, in the army, some kinks in the armor, trying to find a little dents where they can find the weaknesses? Like, we'll see what's happening here, but I think that, you know, I want to see, can Jalen Hurts and AJ Brown continue to ball out into 2023 and no defense, no matter how good, no matter how well of a game plan, no matter the mastermind head coach they have, can, you know, they continue to just ball out against defenses?
Yeah, I like that. I agree. And then I'm curious, can Mac Jones support any like worthwhile fantasy option that isn't Ramondre Stevenson or Zeke? So just, again, I'm really curious, again, week one through four, I just want to see how a lot of these wide receiver rooms, a lot of these running back rooms shake out. And this is a very interesting Patriots wide receiver room. If Mac Jones does turn that corner with Bill O'Brien instead of the Matt Patricia and someone else experiment last year, whatever they had as their like co-OCs, was a disaster. So let's see if Bill O'Brien can sort this out and get Mac Jones to the quarterback we all think he can be.
Yeah, because a lot of people have lost faith in him. I mean, you've seen the Bailey Zappi, you know, moments he's had. You got Matt Corral there now, right? I mean, they got all kinds of stuff happening at quarterback over there. A lot of like,
well, Zappi's gone. Didn't they cut Zappi on?
I think they did a bunch of weird stuff. Yeah, they cut them. They put them on the practice squad. Yeah. They did all this shenanigans over there.
So
we can't get
a lot of hoops to jump through. I can't keep up half the time.
But that should be a fun game. That should be a really good game.
Be a good game. I think that one's going to be way closer than people think.
Yeah, that should be a good one. The next one, Rams Seahawks. Lots of stuff to look at here, man. These games, I don't know if it's just because it's so early in the season or what, but I'm excited about all these games.
No, week one's a great slate. It's a great slate for week one.
It is. Truly. They set it up pretty well here for us. Yeah. I mean, here, I'm trying to see, is Geno Smith going to keep doing this, right? Is he going to keep doing what everybody thought he couldn't do? And, I mean, this guy was, like, literally, like, considered, like, a bust, like, his whole career. I mean, he was in the NFL, and he was keeping jobs, and he was, like, backups everywhere, and didn't live up to that initial early hype. And then all of a sudden last year is like one of the most legit quarterbacks. He finished top five, I believe. I think when I checked the other day, it was top five he finished last year of all quarterbacks, fantasy-wise. It's just crazy. Like, can he continue to do that? Like, was that a flash-in-the-pan type moment? He just had this, like, you know, miracle season type thing? Or did he really just find himself with the perfect weapons on offense? You know, perfect, you know, running backs back there. You nice young guys they got now with Zach and Kenneth Walker. Like, is this the perfect, you know, recipe to continue this, you know, for Geno? Or did something weird just happen and he had a, you know, a great season?
Yeah. I'm interested to see what the Seahawks do. I'm going to be holding my breath on the Rams' first possession to make sure that Matt Stafford can take a hit. And look, I love Matt Stafford. I've loved Matt Stafford for years. I want him to just, like, throw for 5,000 yards again. I don't know if that's going to be possible with what's going on in LA, but mainly just, can Matt Stafford take a hit and at least make some pieces on this offense viable? Otherwise, it's going to be a long season if you have any pieces of LA on your roster.
Yeah. Yeah. And as we power through this, we got another comment. This one is ridiculous from Bruce. Raiders getting thrashed. Like, come on, man. Come on.
As somebody who lived in Colorado for many years of my life and grew up there, I don't know about that, man.
The nerve of this guy, man. Listen, this is the guy who has Darren Waller probably not even going to play again this week. This is what I'm talking about. The Raiders knew to get rid of him. The Raiders knew to get rid of him. His Giants got Darren Waller, and he's probably not even going to play.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
Is Bruce bitter? Are you a bitter Giants fan over there?
The claws are going to come out ahead of week one. But let's let everything shake out for a few weeks before we start throwing trash talk, you know?
Like, listen, see what happens. Bruce, meet me on Rival, Josh Jacobs versus Saquon Barkley week one.
Like, throw down that gauntlet. Throw it down.
Yeah, Saquon Barkley, Josh Jacobs week one. If you're about it, if the Raiders are going to get thrashed and the Giants are so good, meet me on there, man. Meet me on there. Come see me.
Matt Arena. Get in there.
Had to acknowledge that. How do you acknowledge that really quick? All right, you got a couple more to power through, and then we'll actually do a bingo card at the end here really quick.
Love it.
So, all right, Dolphins, Chargers.
Favorite game of the week.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Why is it your favorite game of the
week? Two offenses. Everyone's healthy. You know, the cores of the entire offense. The only question mark is, like, who the Dolphins are going to have be the lead back. We know it's probably going to be Mostert, but, like, Mostert and A-Chain versus Eckler, great backfield matchup. Tyreek and Waddle on one side versus Keenan Allen and Mike Williams on the other, two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Two great defenses. Like, this game is just – it's got a little bit of everything, and I don't think anyone's going to be disappointed if you're watching this one.
Yeah, the only thing I'm thinking of is Tua, please stay healthy. That's it. Please. That's all I want. Yeah. Honestly, if Tua stays healthy all season,
unscathed. Let's do it week by week. Let's just get Tua to the next one, please.
Yeah. Are you a big Tua guy in fantasy this year? Like, did you roll the dice and
take
that shot?
Yeah, I have a lot of Tua. I mean, look, when you're getting a guy like him, if we're taking Tyreek in the first round and we're taking Waddle in the third round, you have to believe that Tua's going to be healthy enough to justify that draft cost.
Exactly.
So I'm going to take him in the 10th if he's falling to me. And he fell to me so many times. So half the time I'm pairing Anthony Richardson in the 9th with Tua in the 10th. So I got all my bases covered. If Richardson doesn't pop, I'm good. I got Tua. So yes, I am over invested in Tua, and I think he's with his jujitsu training and everything this offseason, I really like what he did to get himself ready.
Let me ask you this. We got the last 4 o'clock game looking at here. It's Packers Bears. if you're on Rival right now and you see a Jordan Love, Justin Fields challenge, which side are you taking?
I'm going to take some Jordan Love action.
Yeah. Wow. I thought you were going to take the easy out here. I thought you were going to
Justin Fields is the low-hanging fruit, but I think Jordan Love, he's got Dubs playing. From what the last I saw is that Dubs is active.
Yeah, I believe so.
So you got Dubs, you got Musgrave. Jaden Reed's going to get a lot more run today than we all initially expected. So I think Love's going to have to air it out because I think Love can use his legs. Like, we've seen he can scramble and he will take off if he needs to. So I think he's got a little more rushing upside than people are giving him credit for.
Yeah, that's an underrated part of his game that people are not giving him any credit for, it feels like. Yeah. I mean, honestly, I don't understand the hate for Love. Like, I've seen people say, oh, I mean, look at what he's done so far. He hasn't had a chance, bro. Like, what are you looking at exactly? Like,
It's the Trey Lance effect. Like, people expected Trey Lance to just be this world beater when he came out. He had two starts, and he broke his ankle. Same with Jordan Love. Jordan Love's had, like, four starts in the NFL. Like, relax. Let it play out. Let it shake out for a little bit before we start overreacting to everything.
Yeah, I think there's value that he sat those years. He sat behind a Hall of Fame quarterback. He, you know, learned the system. He has some good young wide receivers who, if healthy, are talented. You know, a good, solid backfield that's been doing its thing for a couple of years now. And so, I mean, man, if they protect him and the defense can do its thing, I don't see why anyone is, you know, I don't get the hate on Jordan Love. I'm a fan, so.
And I'll take Jordan Love's supporting cast in the backfield over what Justin Fields has. I'll take Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon over most tandems in the NFL, I think.
And meanwhile, I do love Justin Fields, to be honest with you.
This is just me justifying why I'm picking Jordan Love. But, like, if I lose because Fields has a day, I'm not going to be shocked.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, the last two games, Cowboys-Giants. Bruce was in here earlier. If I'm looking at this game, I'm trying to see what Giants wide receivers are going to take the leap to be the man in New York, because I also have a lot of Wando Robinson shares, Isaiah Hodgins shares. You got Hyatt out there. You know, I know they added Waller, and Waller's going to be a big part of that when he's healthy. Barkley obviously gets work. But my thing is, like, which Giants wide receiver is going to be the one who steps up and says, I'm going to lead this wide receiver group? I know he can spread the ball around and everyone can kind of get involved, but I want to see if one takes the lead and says, I'm running with this group. And again, I have shares of both, so I feel good either way. But, you know, I want to see who really, you know, does that. It takes that jump.
Yeah, I like that. I'm looking at the Cowboys side. Is it, is Brandon Cooks or Michael Gallup going to be the two on that team? You know, Gallup's full season removed from his ACL, and he's had great camp, but Brandon Cooks is Brandon Cooks. He's like the lesser revered Mike Evans. He's always good if he has a quarterback. So excited to see which one of those kind of separates themselves.
Yeah, quickly, we have a question here from a viewer. Sim says, D-Hop, Michael Thomas, or Deion Jackson, full PPR? I'll just jump out the gate. I'm going D-Hop. Like, to me, I'm taking D-Hop, no question. I get, you know, the Colt situation is enticing. Deion Jackson is, you know, an enticing, you know, thing to do right now. And it's a popular take. But I think that when you have a player like D-Hop, you don't have to go that route. You don't have to take that, you know, hot, you know, topic right now, which is Deion Jackson. Michael Thomas, I am excited about. I think that he will have a bounce back year with Carr. So don't get me wrong, I am a fan of Michael Thomas. And I think if he stays healthy, there is some legitimate, you know, flex value there. And Deion Jackson is flex worthy as well. But I just think out of these three, for me, it's D-Hop, hands down, no question. Don't second guess it. What do you got, Brian, for that?
Same, D-Hop, guaranteed routes, guaranteed work. We don't know what Michael Thomas's role is going to be if he's healthy. Deion Jackson sounds like he's in a timeshare, at least for the first couple of weeks. So, yeah, I'm going D-Hop. Chances of him catching five balls for 50 and a touchdown seem much higher than Jackson falling into the end zone.
Exactly. And thank you for the question, Sim. Thank you for watching. Hopefully you're on the Rival Fantasy platform. If you're not, take advantage of the offer and everything going right now in case you are. But if you are, thank you. We appreciate you for watching either way. Last game, Bills Jets, before we fill out a bingo card, Bills Jets. This is a defensive, you know, banger. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, two GOAT quarterbacks, Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers. Lots of stuff here. Lots of stuff going on. Lots of great wide receivers. Everything is fun here. So if you had to pull one out, Brian, like, even if it's just, let's say, fantasy focused, which one are you, you know, pulling? What are you staring at, checking out the most here in this game?
Man, I think, again, it's similar to the Cowboys. Like, which Jets wide receiver is going to be their number two? You know, is it Mecole Hardman? Is it going to be Alan Lazard? Like, who else is taking targets away from Garrett Wilson? And is Gabe Davis going to bounce back and be a post-type sleeper? I'm interested to see what shakes out with Gabe Davis on the Bills side.
Absolutely. We have another question here from a viewer. Niche is asking, Brian Robinson or Raheem Mostert, running back two?
Oof, man.
It's a good one.
That is a really good one. I'm probably going to go Mostert just because I think that game's going to be back and forth. That's really close. I think you could flip a coin and be happy, but I will go Mostert just because Robinson could sit the second half if the Commanders are up by enough against Arizona.
Yeah, I actually kind of like Robinson in this game just because it's the Arizona Cardinals, right? Like, if it was anybody else, I would say, I mean, actually, they both really got good matchups, to be honest. Yeah. But if I had to choose, I'm going to go Robinson. I just feel like his role is more defined. The Dolphins have a ton of running backs there. I don't know who's going to eventually score the touchdown. You know, if it's just going to be a hot hand type of situation, you know, I want to see how the roles are defined and everything going into this year because things have changed a little bit over there. But I would take Brian Robinson. So we both kind of split on this one. I don't think you can go wrong. I think they're in the same range.
Go Robinson because we know that Riverboat Ron loves Brian Robinson. So he'll get the run. He'll get the goal line carries. So I'm going to switch. Go Robinson on that one.
Yeah, so Robinson for both of us then. Anish, thank you for watching. Thank you for the question. Good luck this week. Hopefully, if you're not, get on Rival Fantasy. You know, take advantage of the $200 deposit up to $200 or just start a league there, whatever it is. But we appreciate you for watching. Subscribe if you haven't. Also, we appreciate you, Anish. All right, did we cover all the games? I think we covered them all. Let's go ahead and do a bingo card. One minute to wrap this up. Let's bring it on the screen. All right, let's go full screen really quick. All right, just so everyone can see, you can either have a saved lineup like I have here, and you can just, you know, basically roll it every single week, or you can create a new roster. We'll do it really quick, just a quick walkthrough. Let's show them what we have here, Brian. We'll pick Jalen Hurts at quarterback versus New England. Give me a running back. We got Eckler.
Let's go, Joe Mixon.
Checked off for. Let's see. Some of them are grayed out already, I think, because the games are about to start. Yeah. Is Mixon on here? Let me type him on the top.
Hit Jacobs. Get Jacobs in there.
Okay, yeah, because we don't have much time here, so let's just knock it out. Jacobs, where was he at? Okay, cool.
There.
Another running back. We'll take Eckler versus Miami. Wide receiver, we'll go with Hill. We talked him up here. Yeah. We like his matchup.
Let's get A.J. Brown stack in there.
Brown? Let's see.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown, perfect. Tight end. Goddard, Higby, who are you thinking?
Give me some Higby today. Higby, I really like Higby against Seattle.
A kicker. Let's go with the Raiders kicker, my default setting.
Love it. And then I'm flexing Olave today.
Olave, if I get the chance to
flex. Anytime I can get Chris Olave in my lineup.
It's grayed out right now.
Okay, well.
Who's a 4 o'clock game?
Yep, 4 o'clock game. We'll get in there.
Who we got? We're doing this too late. Let's go with Pollard.
Love Tony Pollard. Yep, there it is.
All right, so then you submit it. You pick how many cards you want to use it for. We'll just go with one for right now. It's $1 per card. And boom, you have yourself a bingo card. That is literally it. That is it, Brian. All right, man. Well, I appreciate you for joining me today, Brian. I appreciate you for helping me do this. Hopefully you come on every single week. We can get Bruce in the mix. Thank you again to everybody who's watching. Oh, and Anish has one more question here. He said, last question, Dak or Richardson for QB?
Go Dak. Go with the guarantee. Yeah.
Dax is a guarantee, Richardson, high ceiling, but let's see how it plays out first.
Yeah.
All right, guys, that is it. We appreciate you guys. Don't forget, subscribe to the channel, Rival Fantasy on YouTube. Go to rivalfantasy.com or download the Rival Fantasy app. Either way, whichever is, you know, your cup of tea, take advantage of the $200 deposit match plus $25 voucher. Start a league on Rival Fantasy. You can still start one. I know week one is happening now, but you can start one to take place in week two, which is still, you know, just a little do-over, a little, you know, it's actually an interesting game to play, to be honest, after we kind of know what's happening with some of the teams. But that's it. Any final words, Brian?
No, best of luck week one. Excited to see you guys on the platform, make some challenges, make some bingo cards, and good luck to everybody this season.
Yeah, good luck, everybody, in week one, and we will see you next week.